Good evening, everyone. I have been looking forward to this night for a very long time, for a few reasons. Number one, I do not get a chance to preach a lot, and I really enjoy when I get the opportunity to. Number two, it's a holiday. I'm sure everyone's excited. This is the 4th of July. Two times in my life, I've been out of the country the week of the 4th. And I really miss the holiday when I wasn't there. So I've got a greater appreciation, I think, for the celebration of this holiday. And then I've also been looking forward to this for a very long time because I was off work today, and I'm going to be off work tomorrow and Friday. So I'm very excited about that. But it's good to see everyone here tonight. If you're visiting with us, we thank you for being here, and we want you to come back whenever you can. Before we begin, let's pause for a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we're so truly grateful for this beautiful day that you bless us with, and we thank you for this time that we have to come here tonight and study from your word. Dear Lord, we pray that at this time, as we look at your word, that we understand that this is how you speak to us today. And we pray that our hearts and minds will always be open things that you tell us through your word. Dear Lord, if we see fit, we pray that we may make a change if needed, even though sometimes it's not always easy. But we pray that you help us to do that. Be with us throughout the rest of this night and throughout the rest of the service. And in Christ's name, amen. I want to start out by telling a little story. So at the college where I work at, every May, one thing that is required for all faculty members is we have to go to graduation. Now, I know graduation is typically this time that's very exciting, that everyone looks forward to, family members, the people who are graduating. It's an exciting time. However, for the faculty, it is a dread to have to go to graduation. Where I have to go, we have to go to the Centerplex in Macon. I think that's what it's called. And thousands of people show up. I think this past year there's 8,000 to 9,000 people there. Parking is a mess. Getting out of the place is a complete mess. And we really dread having to go to graduation. And I experienced my first graduation last May. So this time around I felt like, you know, I've been through this before. I didn't feel as new at it as I did last year, so I sat down to devise a plan. And my plan was this. Well, it had this goal in mind. Whatever I can do to save as much time as possible, that's what I'm going to do. So I was thinking, if I can avoid the traffic, I'm going to do it. However I can get out of that place as quick as I can and get home, that's what I'm going to do. So I sat down, I remember in my office, and I came up with a detailed plan, and I decided I was going to ride the shuttle that they have for the faculty members. And I did that for a couple of reasons. Number one, I knew that the shuttle, I was thinking at the time that we would be able to hop on the bus and get out of there really quick. The people directing traffic would realize we were on a school bus, and they'd let us go by everybody else. Number two, the exit off of the interstate was actually a little closer to where I needed to go and park my car. And it just so happened that the exit to go to the Centerplex was under heavy construction. So I was thinking, okay, if I get stuck there, I'm going to get stuck in a traffic jam. And I am not doing that. So, night of graduation came. Everything went all according to plan. I got to the park where I had to park, hopped on the bus, went there, had to wait for like 2 hours for the graduation to start. Very annoying. Had to sit through a very long graduation ceremony. Seemed like it took for forever. And when it ended, I ran. I mean, I bolted out of that place. Okay? If you don't believe a guy like me can run, come with me to graduation next year. Okay, I mean, I was out of there quick. So Hopped on the bus, sat there, we drove off, and instead of letting us cut through the entire traffic of all the other people who were leaving, we had to sit there and wait just like every other car. So I was mildly irritated. Because what should have only taken 10 to 15 minutes to get me back to my car ended up taking like 35. So I was a little annoyed because, you know, it took longer. Got to my car. I ran to my car, of course. Took out my phone and I said, Siri, take me home. Well, for some reason, Siri didn't want to work that night. So instead of sitting there and trying to figure out what was going wrong, I decided, you know what? I remember how I got here. So I took out of the park where I was at and had a nice little detour in downtown Macon. Now, some of you have been on detours with me before, and what that entails is I got lost. Okay, I had no idea where I was. And to this day, I can't tell you how it happened, but you will never guess where I ended back up at. Right back at the Centroplex, okay? Right back there. So I had to turn around, and guess what I had to do? Sit in the parking lot all over again and wait to get out on the highway. So by this point, I was very, very angry, okay? So I get out, finally get on the interstate, and Mother always accuses me of driving really fast, and I say, no, I don't drive fast. However, I will admit I was driving very fast that night because I wanted to make up lost time. Get 10 miles outside of Macon, and I get stuck in a traffic jam. So, that was my story that night. I went from being irritated to angry to furious, all because I wanted to save a little time, right? And I know you're thinking about my topic, and maybe you're wondering, why in the world did he spend all this time telling this story? Well, I tell it for one reason. And that reason is, I am not always patient. Despite how many times I think I am, or other people think I am, I'm not always patient. And if you think about it, you're probably not always patient either. You see, patience, something that doesn't always come naturally to people. Comes more naturally to others, doesn't always come naturally to me. It's interesting that when we look at those 9 characteristics we're looking at this summer in Galatians 5, one thing that's interesting to note here is that these aren't characteristics that, okay, I decide, today I will become patient. Okay? Doesn't happen that way. They're characteristics that we have to work at. We can't just learn them and be done. Something that we really, really have to work at. For me, patience is sometimes a little more difficult than the others. Which is why I picked this topic. So tonight, for just a few minutes, I want us to talk a little bit about patience. And I've really just got 3 things I want to mention about ways we need to be patient in our lives. First thing I want to point out is that we have to be patient with people. Now, I know you're thinking, have you met some people? It's not always easy, is it? It's not always easy to be patient with people, but we need to be. I mean, I work at a college. I deal with difficult people every day. They are teaching me patience. We have to learn to be patient with people. We have to be patient with our families. I'm not just referring to our blood relatives. I'm referring to our spiritual families. We have to be patient with those people. If you'll turn over in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. We'll start here tonight. We're going to be bouncing around a little bit. But when we get down to verse 21, we find Peter asking Jesus a question. Verse 21, it says, and Peter came up to him and said, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? as many as seven times? See, in Peter's mind, that number seven was a generous number. Should I forgive someone up to seven times? And Jesus, he's just going to shake up this whole idea. He says, no, I don't say seven times, but seven times 70. Now, this doesn't imply that we need to keep a tally, and on that 491, we're done. That's not how it works. Sometimes, part of being patient is having a forgiving spirit. Something that I think we have to work at sometimes. Something that comes difficult to us. You know, I think it's relatively easy to forgive someone when they sin against you one time. Okay? I think it's relatively easy. It's when it happens over and over and over and over that our patience gets tried a little bit. We have to be patient with our brothers and sisters, everyone in this building here tonight. I think one thing we need to understand is that there are a lot of different Christians in here tonight. Some who have been Christians for 50 years. Some who haven't been Christians but maybe 5 years. And we need to realize that people are going to be at different levels of growth in their Christianity. We have to be patient with people in the church when they sin against us. Just like with anything, when you start something new, you're not going to be great at it. People who are new Christians are not always going to do the right thing. Sometimes they're going to mess up. We've got to be patient with those people. Turn over to Acts chapter 15. You know, we talk about the Apostle Paul and all the great things he did. But sometimes, even he wasn't always patient. See, it's something we can all work toward. Work at getting better at. When you look at verse 36, Paul and Barnabas, they're getting ready to go out on another trip to visit all the places they had went on their missionary journey. And they get into a little argument over the fact that Barnabas wanted to take with him John, who was called Mark. Paul did not want to take Mark with them because he had left them earlier before. However, it was Barnabas who stood up and said that they needed to give him another chance. See, we always need people in the church today who are willing to give the younger Christians, those who mess up, we need to have people who are willing to give them a second chance. One thing I often think about is, what might have happened to Mark if Barnabas had not given him another chance? What might have happened? Well, maybe he would have gotten discouraged altogether and just abandoned his faith. Not a person in this room tonight who hasn't made a mistake. We need people to encourage us as much as possible. Turn over to 2 Timothy 4 and verse 11. Think about this, and at one time Paul didn't want Mark with them. But in verse 11 of 2 Timothy 4, we see he says, Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. What if Barnabas had not been patient with Mark here? Maybe he would have never been useful. Not just useful, it says very useful to Paul. That's something we need to keep in mind. We always need to be prepared help people, to encourage people, even if they've messed up. Because you think about your life, you probably had someone in your life who has had to help you and encourage you when you've messed up. So we have to be patient with our families, with our church families, our blood families. It's not always easy. You know, I think with me, sometimes it's I'm less patient with my family than I am with other people. Is that the case with anyone in here? I don't understand why we have a tendency to be less patient with the people we love most. But we do. We have to be patient with people who are out to get us. It's not always easy, is it? Because when someone does us wrong, first thing we want to do is what? We want to get back at them. But I think we need to look at biblical examples to see how people have handled difficult people in the past. I think the first person that jumps into my mind when I think of someone who had handled a difficult situation, I think of Stephen in Acts chapter 7. You know, in Acts 7, Stephen, he had just delivered a lesson, a message to these people. And they did not like to hear what he had to say. That's an understatement, isn't it? Yes, it is an understatement. You know, as a teacher, sometimes I have to give news to my students that they do not like to hear. And I usually get a few different responses. Sometimes they'll just go sit down and pout. Sometimes they'll throw a fit and get up and walk out of the room. Leave class for the day. Fine, I didn't want to see him anyways. That was a joke. I've had students curse me out because they are upset with a grade. I haven't, up to this point anyways, and I hope it never happens, I haven't had them form a mob and kill me. That's not what happened here. They killed Stephen because they were so enraged. And that's the word the English Standard Version uses, enraged, by what he said. How does Stephen react? If it was me, if it was many of us in here, we'd want to fight back, right? But if we look at Acts chapter 7, skipping down to 59. Let's look at verse 59. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Wow. He did something that I would say many of us in this room would not be capable of doing. You know, it's very, very difficult deal with people who are difficult, is it? Think of Jesus. And Jesus said something very similar to what Stephen said here in Acts chapter 7. If you look in Luke chapter 23, verse 34, as he's hanging on the cross, he says, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." They do not realize that they are killing the Son of God. They both have forgiving spirits. I think patience comes into this. We have to be patient with people who are out to get us. And whether you like this or not, you're going to have to deal with people who sometimes may be out to get you. I've had to do it. Everyone here, without a doubt, has had to do it. But we have to be patient during those times. Excuse me, my throat's getting dry. We have to be patient with people we're trying to share the gospel with. Now, I think of the three, this is the most difficult because I'm sure everyone in here has someone in their life, maybe a family member, a relative, a friend, who has not obeyed the gospel. And it may be that you're just wanting them to take that step to do what's necessary to become a child of God. You have to be patient with these people. It's not always easy. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, in the context of what Paul is writing here, he's addressing some issues with divisions in the church. However, in doing that, he brings up some things that we need to pay attention to. Our purpose, our jobs when we are sharing the gospel to people. So let's take a look at this. Let's start with verse 5. And I think, if we look close enough, we can see a key lesson in patience here. It says, "What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building." So our jobs, when we're sharing the gospel, got to plant the seed, got to water the seed. Many of you in here know this. Maybe some of you don't. I worked on a plant nursery for a very long time. And every winter, we would get ready to get the plants ready to sell for the next spring. I might would plant something in January that would be ready in March. I might would plant something in January that wouldn't be ready till April or May. I might would plant something that wouldn't be ready until the next season or the season after that. See, just like plants, people mature at different rates. We have to be patient as they are maturing. You know, I think one thing we need to understand here is that our job is to plant the seed, to water the seed. God, He's going to take care of everything else. But God does not always work on our time frame. And that's something that's difficult to keep in mind. We have to be patient. During that time when I might would plant something and it wouldn't be ready to sell until 2 or 3 years after that, we still had to make sure that those plants stayed alive. We still had to water them. We still had to make sure that when they were ready to go outside and go home with someone, we had to take care of them until that time came. Now, one thing I do want to point out here, when we're looking at watering, you know you can kill a plant by giving it too much water. That's something I found out. That's something I learned. A couple months ago, Mother bought a couple Gerber daisies. And we planted them in this nice pot, watered it, and the water was standing in it. There was no hole for drainage. In a week's time, that plant would have been dead. So I went out and drilled a couple of holes in it so the water could go through. And I told Mother this morning, I think it was. I said, "This is the best plant I think you've ever had out here. You should see how that thing's grown." But it wouldn't have grown that way had it continuously been watered. See, sometimes people are ran off in the church because others will not let it go that they are not a Christian. Sometimes when that happens, people get upset and they leave. If you throw too much water on something, it's going to die eventually. Well, I think that's something we need to keep in mind. Too much water can be a bad thing. And it's a shame that this happens, but some sooner or later, we might have someone from outside the church who's visiting here. Sooner or later, someone's going to come up and say the age-old, "You're not a Christian, you're going to hell." Let me tell you this, that is one of the worst things you can tell someone, because very few people come back from that. That's happened. It doesn't happen very often. Kill the seed when those things happen. You know, Paul, he mentions Apollos in 1 Corinthians 3. Let's look back to Acts chapter 18. We're really introduced to Apollos near the end of Acts chapter 18. And Apollos is really an interesting case here, because he was in a lost state. Okay? Apollos was in a lost state. However, the scripture here points out a couple of interesting things about Apollos. You look at verse 24. It says he was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. He knew the word of God. Okay? This was a man who knew God's word. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord. He had grown up, okay? Grown up being taught what he needed to do. And being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus. He spoke the truth about Jesus. However, he was off on one little thing, okay? He only knew the baptism of John. He was not teaching right baptism. And I think this is really interesting that we see this specific example here, because this is an area of contention, okay, in the religious world. I want us to take a close look at how the Christians handled Apollos in this situation. Look at verse 26. There's a couple things I want us to note. He began speaking boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard them, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. A couple things that happened here. They took him to the side. Okay? You never want to make a public spectacle out of anyone. Make it private. Okay? They took him to the side. But one other thing they did here is they explained to him more accurately. Okay? We cannot overlook an error in teaching. Cannot do it. You have to explain the right thing to do. Notice they didn't go up and say, "Well, you haven't been baptized in the name of you haven't been baptized for the remission of your sins in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. Well, you're going to hell." No. Look what they said in verse 27. What it says in verse 27. It says, the brothers encouraged him. Wow. They encouraged him. And when we look down to a little further into Acts chapter 19, we see Apollos obeying the gospel, being baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Baptism, not of John. Notice, it didn't happen immediately. Sometimes we'll read examples when in the book of Acts when they heard the truth, boom, it happened immediately. This is where patience comes in. You have to be patient, because people mature at different rates. So, what should we do then? We should always pray. Always pray. Read the book of James, especially in chapter 5. It talks about the power that prayer has. And we should continue to water the seeds. That doesn't mean I wouldn't hook up a fire hose to water a 1 gallon geranium. It would kill it, right? want to take care of it and make sure that when it matures, it's ready. So we need to be patient with people who are our families. We need to be patient with people who are sometimes out to get us. We need to be patient with people we're trying to share the gospel with. Secondly, and I've roughly got 12 minutes left. Secondly, we need to be patient during times of trials. Turn over to James chapter 1. And Kevin spoke about this last week. He did a very fine job doing that. But James says to consider it what? Consider it joy. You fall into various trials. And as Kevin said last week, it's not something that you're supposed to enjoy in the moment. Okay? No one enjoys trials. But it's the outcome of what those trials give you that make us stronger. We have to be patient during these trials. You know, when I'm discouraged, when I feel like I've got a lot on me, I like to read the book of James. I think it's very uplifting, especially to those who are going through trials. Now, in James, they were going through a little different trials than any of us in this room have had to experience, in that they were being persecuted for their religion. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe anyone in this room has ever been physically persecuted because of our religion. These people were. Another thing I like to look at when sometimes I'm feeling down and overwhelmed, I like to read the last few chapters of the book of Genesis, starting with verse 37. We read about the life of Joseph there. Joseph, when we're first introduced to him in Genesis 37, I think it's safe to say he was a little bit of a brat. He was his daddy's favorite son. He was the son of his daddy's favorite wife. And his brothers hated him for it. So they made a plan. Said, we're going to kill him. And that was the original plan. You read closely. They were going to kill him. That's not what happened. They wanted to kill him. So, as a teenager, he was sold into slavery, where he spent over a decade living the life of a slave and as a prisoner. You think he was taught patience during that time? Absolutely. During all that time, God had something far greater in mind for Joseph. Where did Joseph end up at? Second, only Pharaoh. He was a great leader over the land of Egypt. At times when he was a slave and a prisoner, he had to be taught patience. Do you think you're a great leader of a nation, you think you need patience? I think Daddy and Terry can attest that they need patience in leading this congregation. See, Joseph, he was getting ready for a greater purpose that God had in mind to him. But it wasn't like, oh, this week I'm a slave, next week I'm a prisoner. Oh, the week after that, I'm running Egypt. No, that's not how it happened. Years and years. And there may be someone in this room tonight who, quite honestly, you're going through some times of trials. And maybe you're thinking, well, I don't know if this is ever going to end. I think during those times, it's some of the toughest times we can experience. Not knowing what the future holds. Sometimes when we look back on something that happened in our life, we realize that was for the best. You know, I think about my family in this. In 2002, January 2002, Not me, not Daddy, not Mama, not Mandy. None of us wanted to come down here. That's the truth. And they'll agree with that. We didn't want to come down here. Now, here we are in 2018. Not a one of us want to go back. You know, it's amazing to see with a perspective how God works in our lives. And though you can't see it today, you may not see it next week, next month, next year, God does have a plan for us. We know that all things work out for good. Those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. It's something we have to keep in mind. We need to be patient during these times of trials. It's not easy. Hang in there. Last thing I want to mention this evening, we need to be patient with God's promises. Turn over to Luke chapter 2. I want us to take a look at a character that, quite honestly, I don't think we talk about very much. Let's start with verse 25 here. Now there was a man in Jerusalem. Lost my spot. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. We don't know how long Simeon had been sitting there waiting, or had been there waiting to see the Christ child. Chances are he wasn't told the night before. Chances are he was waiting a long time to see the promise that God had given to him. You know, that's how it is with us. Sometimes we have to wait a long time before we see God's promises. Sometimes we've seen people who are impatient with God's promises. First person who pops into my mind when I think of someone who was impatient with God's promises is Abraham. God, he told Abraham when he was at a relatively old age, or at least it would be old to us in here today. He lived a while after that. But he told him that he was going to have a son. He was going to be a father of many nations. Got to see his son, but got a little impatient along the way, didn't he? Abraham and Sarah tried to take matters into their own hands. Go against what God's plan was. And God... Did it go off? No. Now... He had another promise that he would be a father of many nations. If we think about it, did Abraham get to see that promise come to pass? No, he didn't. See, Abraham died before God kept that promise. And you see, that's how it is with us. Our greatest promise that we have coming to us will not happen in this life, in this body. It will happen. But we're just going to have to wait a little while for it. Have to be patient. Have to be patient as we're waiting for God's promises. And God, one thing we've learned by reading the Bible, God keeps His promises. read the Old Testament, the things he said he would do, he kept his promises. There's no reason to believe that he will not keep the promise that he's given to us today. So, we need to be patient. We have to be patient when we're dealing with people. Maybe you've got a coworker at work, someone who's just driving you crazy, someone who's out to get you. Maybe you're quarreling with some family members. We have to be patient. Maybe it's someone here in the church. We have to be patient. We need to encourage those people. Like Barnabas encouraged Mark. And we know that one day he was very useful to Paul. We need to be patient with people we're trying to share the gospel with. It's not going to happen overnight. Hard thing to grasp sometimes. We have to be patient. Because it's God who provides the growth. It's not anything we do. But God is going to do His part. We need to pray. We need to be patient during times of trials. And we need to be patient waiting for God's promise. I want to end on this. Turn over to James chapter 5. Verse 7. It says, "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and late rains. You also be patient." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for this beautiful day that you've blessed us with. Dear Lord, at this time, we pray that we too can be more patient. Help us to be more patient with trials we may be experiencing, with people we may be dealing with. Help us to grow more patient each and every day. Dear Lord, we pray that you would be with us all as we go throughout the rest of our lives and as we strive do your will, and as we strive to bring people to your kingdom. Help us to be patient. Help us to be encouraging and uplifting. Help us to let the world see you living in us so that they know that we belong to you. Dear Lord, we ask these things through your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.